All right, as we get ready to get started, I think we'll go over a couple of things. As we said, what we'd talk about, a little bit of covert NLP and how to do some things, and share some different information. And then we'll also talk about logical levels. Doesn't matter which way we start. I think we'll start with the logical level, since that's what I talked about, and then we'll go into the covert and hypnosis or NLP. So as we get ready to get started, let's just get started. Let's talk about what logical levels are. I sent out in the blast, I sent out the first two paragraphs. If people can go to the website and get the rest of the article. And really, I know like everything I do in NLP, I look at it a little different than everybody else. But I think logical levels are a great way to give you a format on how, if you're going to influence people, where are you going to influence them at? Where in their change, where does the change have to take place? There's different levels change can occur. There's different ways we can think of things. And so, we have several levels. I break it down a little different than some people because it's just the way I look at it. And there's been books written on this. I think McDonald wrote a book on logical levels, or DILT. And there's been a bunch of other books written on it. And this can be used one-on-one with people or even with organizations, because each one of these can help people make change from looking for what's out of kilter, if you will, what's out of whack. You can't fix something if you don't know what needs to be fixed and where necessarily that change is. One of the things that happens, as change agents, whether you're using NLP or hypnosis or psychotherapy, is, somebody presents with a problem. They want to stop smoking, lose weight, improve their golf game. Well, that's a level they want to change. Doesn't necessarily mean they want a whole new personality, which is what psychotherapy is all about, is that kind of deep psychological shift or a deep spiritual change. So you want to know what level. So because really it begins to give you a place to make the easiest change possible, because once the easier the change or the influence that you're doing with the people, the easier it is to put things into action, And it helps you spring these things into action is basically what it is. It's more practical. It's a little bit more efficient. It helps you gather information a little bit different way, and it can help you build these change. And it's just the logical levels. And I think on the web site, it didn't give you the little there's two things I got to correct I just saw, so I'll go and do that tonight. But it's there's several levels to logical levels, obviously. The first is the environment. Where does the person live? And it's just basically the little picture there. It didn't come out on the website. I got to correct that. But if you could just imagine like a little stairway or a little ladder, and the first rung of the ladder is the environment. Where does a person live? This is everything, not just where they live, where they work, the people they hang out with, the things they do, the friends, everything about their environment. Because let's say a person wants to make a change. Does something in their environment have to change? Does their environment support the change? I always use the 12-step programs, Alcoholics Anonymous, and things like that, and one of the first things they attack is the environment. If you want to quit drinking, you probably shouldn't be going to bars, and you probably shouldn't have beer in your house. Kind of makes sense. But it's a simple answer people don't think about. It's the old, you don't go to a whorehouse to listen to a piano player, so you might need to change your environment. And sometimes changing the environment alone will change everything else. Those of us that try to make a deep shift in our belief set, how important is it to change your environment, to get out of the places where people, don't think it's possible to change? If you want to become financially wealthy and change your belief set about that and begin to make money, I don't think it's good to hang around a place where everybody just complains that, you can't get rich, there's no money to be made, the economy sucks, whatever it is. If that's the environment you're around, you're going to take on a lot of the aspects of the environment. So when you're helping someone change, do they need to change at the level of the environment? So first I'll walk through it real quickly for individuals, then we'll kind of do it real quick as you can even do this for an organization. The next level is the behavior. Does the person have the behavior that they want that, to help them get whatever goal that they want to do? Let's say a person wants to lose weight, first thing, and you may change every level, by the way. But, you know, so a person wants to lose weight. Well, it would be good to change the environment, you know, get the cookies, cakes, sweets, snack foods out of the house. It's like don't lead me into temptation. I can find it myself, as they say. So you might need to get that out of the house. So the next level was, does the person know about proper nutrition, proper exercise, proper ways to do these things? So that's the behavior level. They may need some help with the behavior. This is where education, training, experience would come in. Those of us that learned hypnosis, we had to learn the behavior of hypnosis, you know, how to do it, the behaviors of it, things like that. So sometimes we have to change at the behavior level. Now, I changed a little bit. I put the next two levels together, the capabilities and the skills. I combined them. Do they have the capabilities and the skills to even do the this is where training would come in. You know, if you're going to learn how to drive a car, you have the behaviors. You can look, you can steer, you can use your feet to do the pedals. That's the behaviors, but you need to learn the skills to do that. So it's a little bit more intricate than just the raw behaviors. But most of us have the capabilities to learn to do just about anything. I always say with a realistic skill set in there. So does the person need some, you know, training and capabilities or skills? The next level up would be the beliefs and or the values. And do they have the beliefs that this change is even possible? Let's use our weight loss example. You know, do they believe it's possible to lose weight? Do they believe it's possible to lose weight easily? Is it easy and effortless, or do they believe it's hard? And then going down, do they have the skills to do it? Do they have the capabilities? Well, you know, maybe they need a little bit more. Maybe they need to alter their behavior. They don't need to stop at Dairy Queen every night, which would also alter their environment. So you begin to see that all of these levels begin to interchange. But sometimes just a simple change at one level will change everything. So sometimes we need to change a belief, you know, and a value. Like when you're working with somebody with prosperity, do they have the belief that they can make money? Do they have the belief that money is okay? Do they have the belief that it's easy to make money? And does that fit with their value system? You know, if someone ever says, you know, money's the root of all evil or something like that. Everyone should mute their phone. It's star. I'll tell you in a second. Star 2. Okay. Anyway, going back to this. So you want a belief, you know, you might want to change your beliefs about things like prosperity and money. And again, that would affect your environment, all the way down to your environment, because, you know, you can't go to the local bar where everybody's complaining. And then, of course, the highest level is your identity, who you are. Is this change, does it fit in with who you are? Is it part of your spiritual identity? And then the highest level would be, and I don't put it down because it's the connection to the universe or your higher power level. But at your identity level, does your identity support this change? You know, does somebody use a weight loss example? You know, do they consider themselves a fat person? If that's part of their identity, it's going to be a tougher change than someone that just happened to gain weight. I know from running weight loss clinics, helping whatever 15, 20,000 people lose weight, the ones that were the easiest to lose weight were the ones that thought of themselves as thin, that just maybe quit working out, ate wrong, you know, got on some medicine or something like that and got fat, but they didn't think of themselves as a fat person. And same with smokers. You know, if a guy, I still remember doing seminars, and a guy would walk in with a Marlboro hat, Marlboro jacket, Marlboro belt buckle, and then tell me he wants to quit smoking. But part of his identity was he was a Marlboro man. So if you change your identity, you know, that's a deep change. But if you change about the person you are on the inside, maybe everything else will change. This is where something like a spiritual awakening, a spiritual shift, and a lot of us have had those, where one day it just seems like everything shifted. Because suddenly, that's not the person that you used to be. So your beliefs change. You go out, if you don't already have them, then it's easy to pick up the capabilities and skills. And the behavior that used to bother you, let's say drinking or drugging or gambling, whatever it is, becomes something alien to that new identity. And then it's easy to let go of the old playmates and playpens or change your environment. So sometimes, you know, if you can change at the highest level, if you can get an identity change, it can ripple down through all the other levels. But for most of us, the change happens the other way. If we change the environment, then we change our behavior, we learn new capabilities and skills, that begins to change our belief set, and then finally we begin to change our thoughts about who and what we are. Now, the reason this is important for helping people make changes, if you're a therapist or a change agent or a coach or something along those lines, you want to make the change make sure that they change at every level. I use 12-step analogies or people in alcohol and drug recovery. You know, they'll say that they have a belief change and an identity change, but if they keep hanging around the old environment, the old behaviors come back. Because as we all know, as NLPers and hypnotists and change agents, you can change your behavior, but it's still that old anchor can be floating around in the back of your brain. So you might want to change at every level. Now, it's interesting, and I'll walk everybody through a quick exercise, and you can just do this mentally very quickly. If everybody would think about something in their life they'd like to accomplish on a personal level, think of something in your life you'd like to accomplish. I don't care what it is. And as you're thinking about it, I'd like you to imagine your environment. In your mind, just step into your environment. You know, not just your house and everything, but where you live, the kind of car you drive, the people you hang out with, you know, the people you have to hang out with, family members, things like that. And then what about the people you choose to hang out with, friends and associates? Does all the things in your environment support you making this change? And if not, you might want to take some mental notes of what do I need to change in my environment? You know, I know... if you were trying to make more money, this is one of the thoughts behind The Secret, that you need to think prosperous, you need to look prosperous. I know down here in Florida they teach that to all the real estate agents, you know, you want to look prosperous. It's why they all drive nice cars. But what do you need to change in your environment? Maybe you need to get rid of some old friends. This is what happens to a lot of us when we begin to make shifts. So think about your environment. Now I want you to think about your behaviors. Does your behavior support you making this change? You know, if you want to get in physical shape, maybe drop weight, or that could be second, think about the behavior of exercising and working out. You know, I believe that, like a lot of the research I'll be talking about in a few weeks coming out, that, you know, thinking about exercise actually helps your body, but you still need to do some actual physical exercise. So does your behavior support this change? And if not, what in your behaviors do you have to change? You know, again, if you want to be prosperous, you might need to change the behavior of telling everybody that you're broke or that times are tough or you know, things like that. So what in your behaviors do you need to change? Do you need to add some behavior? Okay. Do you need to go out and get some more capabilities and skills? Do you need to learn some new material? You know, if you want to make more money, I'm convinced you need to add to your skill set, whatever it might be. I don't care if it's reading some new books, bringing in a different kind of reading. But do you need to add some capabilities and skills? Do you have all the capabilities and skills that will support the behavior and change your environment for you to make this change? If not, what do you need to do? Do you need to get some more? When I wanted to expand my practice, I needed to go out and talk to people that had different types of practices. I'm changing my business model, so I'm getting some new skills on how to do that. So whatever it is, I mean, we're always working on these types of things. Now the next level up, and you could even imagine, now when I do this with people, I actually physically walk them. I have them take a step at each level. I have them step into their beliefs and values. Do you believe you can make this change? Do you believe it's okay? Does your value system support it? If not, you need to begin to look at those values and beliefs and realize that you can change values and beliefs. They change all the time, sometimes through time, sometimes by thinking about it. I'm not going to walk you through a belief change tonight, but there's some exercises we can do there. So what about your beliefs and values? Do you need to alter anything there? And then finally, is this identity? Does your identity support this change? You know, is it part of who you are? Are you a prosperous person? Are you a physically in shape person? Are you a happy person? You know, or whatever it is you want to change, you know, when you look down the list, now mentally imagine being in your identity and looking at your beliefs and values, your capabilities and skills, your behavior and your environment. Does it align? You know, is there any blocks in this? I mean, I always go back to our normal language. How many times have people said it's just like all my goals just fell in line? Everything just became perfectly aligned. So when you're standing here, you could begin to think about your identity, looking down to your beliefs, your capabilities, your behavior, and your environment. Are they aligned? And then step back into the beliefs and think about that. Maybe you need to make some changes. Imagine stepping into your capabilities, what skills you have to pick up. Step into your behavior. And finally, your environment. And so once all of these are totally aligned, this is where those things happen where nothing can stop you from making the change. It's a total alignment toward your goals. Now, that's the logical level on a personal level. Now, you can also do this for the coaches. A lot of people also do coaching. You can do this with organizations. Organizations do everything. And many times on an organizational level, you know, their values and beliefs will clash with the environment. You know, they'll come up with mission statements, you know. You know, if a company, I remember, I'll just pick on an auto company, I don't think they'll assume me. Years ago, Ford had quality as job one, and that became, you know, they said that was a belief and a value, but in the environment, they didn't support it. You know, if you stop the production line to fix a small problem, you know, they were not happy with you. So if you're going to make a change, it has to be at every level, you know. You know, you may coach an executive to look at this, you know, does their beliefs and values that they have as a company, do they give their employees the skills that they need? Do they allow them to do the behaviors that they need to do? And do they give them the proper environment to do those things? I was just thinking of airlines going through a lot of shifts right now. And part of what I see the problem is they'll say they value and have beliefs that customer service is important, but it doesn't seem to show that in the environment when, you know, they overbook planes and then don't care if you get there or not. And so their employees don't have the behavior to support what the message is coming from the highest level. So many times you can walk an executive or a team through these things to see where the glitches are. Do they support their people at the environmental and the behavioral level? You know, so, and when you see an organization from top to bottom that supports it, and the one that jumps out at me, and whether you like it or not, just put that aside, is Starbucks. You know, they shut the whole company down in the States for a few hours to retrain the people and do some things. And because I kind of heard I should have his name, I got it written down, the president of Starbucks, he talks about they all have to be in a line, you know, with the corporate identity and mission and values. They needed new skills. That's why, because they'd hired so many people, you know, the turnover's high in Starbucks in some places. So they needed to reinforce the skills, give them the behaviors, and redo the environment. One of the things they did at Starbucks, they took out the breakfast sandwiches because, you know, when you're cooking a breakfast sandwich in the morning, they would heat them up. It would take away from the aroma of coffee. Well, people are going to Starbucks for coffee, not breakfast sandwiches. So they actually wrote off a part of their business to support their identity as the coffee shop. So you can look for even organizations that seem to follow this as well as individuals. So that's just some ideas on this. And again, I really got excited about logical levels, you know, when I was doing addictions work as an addictions counselor, and I still do some of that, as you all know. It's one of my passions because it's one where you have to change at every level. Now, you can live your way into good thinking, as they say, by, you know, changing your environment, changing your behavior, which, you know, you learn the skills. This is what like a 12-step program going through counseling, hypnosis, NLP training would do. It begins to change the beliefs and the values, and pretty soon the person thinks of themselves as sober, drug-free, a non-smoker, whatever it is that we're working on. And so this one was very easy for me because it also really gave me some insight into where the person needs to change, you know, where specifically does this person need to change, you know. And when you see somebody having problems making a change, you need to see which level the problem is. You know, because once you get a conflict between identity and behavior, that's where you get a lot of internal dissonance. You know, I mean, you think a behavior is wrong, but you keep doing it. And, of course, that leads to guilt and remorse and regret. And then, of course, you end up doing more of the behavior, which makes you feel worse. You know, if part of your beliefs that, you know, gambling's wrong and you don't consider yourself a gambler, but then you gamble all the time, it starts that cognitive dissonance that we need to address. So just a quick overview, but I like to do at least one of the conference calls a month on a skill set training. Next week we'll be doing some internet marketing stuff for people who want to come on and listen to that. So that's it on the identity and beliefs, capability, skills, behavior, and environment. And just it's a quick overview. There's plenty of stuff written. You can read the little article I posted. And then the last thing on the article I posted is there's some sentences. And again, the other thing that didn't come through on the on when I posted it onto the website was the emphasis about, you know, about a statement that will reveal where a problem can be. You know, if someone said, "I can't do that," right? And then another way to say it would be, "I can't do that here." By stressing the can't, that's a statement about beliefs. They just can't do it. It's not in their belief set. Okay? I can't do that here. Well, if the do would be the capability, right, or the skill. You know, I can't do it here. That's about the behavior, whatever it is. And then finally, I can't do it here, which would be your environment. And so you can actually, it can be as simple as when you listen to someone talking about it, what word do they stress? Because this will lead into us talking about the covert stuff. The words that they stress will begin to tell you where the problem is. Is it the identity, beliefs, capability, behavior, or environment? What are they stressing? And so that's my little overview of the logical level. So since I just kind of tied it into the covert stuff, before I move on, I'd like to ask, does anybody have any questions about logical levels? And to unmute, it's *3. If anybody has a question, we'll take a couple questions and we'll move on and talk about anything else. Go to the covert stuff. No questions? All right. Rock and roll. So what we're going to do next is begin to talk about, you know, some of the covert things that we can do. I like to think about, you know, make it very simple. You know, when I think of this, you know, I read a lot, as a lot of you know, and I'm always thinking about how to take complex ideas and make them simple. You know, in the last e-zine, I'll do a quick review. I gave some essentials to persuasion, and it's covert persuasion. You know, there were 5 little steps, and then we're going to build on that. But to review it, it's kind of like the first thing you need to know is, you know, you need to know what the other person thinks of you. You know, what is their, you know, what imprint do you have on them, if you have any? Where sometimes it's easier to influence others that you don't know, because they don't have an imprint of you. This is one of the reasons why, you know, those of us that went off and learned hypnosis, you know, and went back and tried to hypnotize a family member or a friend, it was kind of tough. Well, one of the reasons is they didn't think of us as hypnotists or NLPers. They thought of us as whatever we were before. And yet, you know, you couldn't hypnotize them, but then you walk into an office, somebody pays you money, and you can do it easily. So sometimes it's easier to influence people you don't know. But what do they think about you? And this is why, you know, you might want to think about the image that you project when you want to persuade someone. You know, it's why, you know, when you watch an infomercial, everybody's always dressed to the market that they're selling to. You know, if they're selling tools, everybody's in work clothes and blue collar and this. If they're selling financial products, everybody's dressed. So you might want to be aware of the image that you project, because this is what others think of you, and it's easier to influence them. And if everybody could please make sure that your phone is muted, that's star two. So anyway, and then you need to know the person's current state, their condition. And then you need to know their desired state if you're trying to influence somebody to take action. So, and even if you're just trying to influence them generally, if you know where they're at the beginning, you can pace and lead that. And you can just do that by, again, how do you present yourself, and then get in rapport with them. And then it's easier to lead them to where you want them to go. You know, you need to figure out the mood that the person's in. And then lastly, you know, you need to know what you want from this other person. What's the goal? And then you're going to enter into the world of your target, if you will. Okay? And because really what this is all about, someone sent me something, and I'll read it, and I'll give the guy credit for it. I think his name's Blair Warren or Warren Blair. And it's, people will do anything for those who encourage their dreams, justify their failures, allay their fears, confirm their suspicion, and help throw rocks at their enemies. Right? Let me read that again. People will do anything for those who encourage their dreams, justify their failures, allay their fears, confirm their suspicions, and help them throw rocks at their enemies. Now, if you've already got a good rapport with the person, and you know where you want them to go, and you take this idea, you can begin to really influence people. Because think about it, you know, look at our current political process. One of the reasons one of the candidates, Barack Obama, has made such big leaps and bounds, and put your political beliefs aside for a moment, and just what he's done. Well, what he's doing, he's encouraging dreams. I'll tell you the two things I see him do better than anything, you know. He's encouraging people's dreams, to dream big. Because remember, when you were a little kid, who was one that through, basically, it's what they do, kind of maybe put some kiboshes on your dreams? It might have been parents or teachers. You know, you go to your teacher and you tell them you want to be a writer. And they'd say, that's good, but, you know, take a journalism class. I always remember, even in college, the best example I had, there was a school that you could get a theater degree and an acting degree, and yet they did not encourage people to become actors. At the same time, they wanted you to go get your teaching certificate so you could make a living. Well, that's not encouraging your dream. Well, this theater department would lose a lot of their people to a theater group down the road that encouraged people to become actors, and it only made sense. You want your dreams to be encouraged, okay? The next thing you want to do is justify people's failures. I mean, now think of marketing, right? How many times, you know, have you tried everything to lose weight? It's not your fault. Recent research has shown that they'll give some research that'll back why a person's failed, right? So it's justifying their failures. It's relieving them of the guilt for not achieving it, right? So, so if you encourage somebody's dreams and at the same time said, you know, have you always wanted to make money but couldn't? Well, it's not your fault. Inside secrets have always been kept from you. And then they can and begin to encourage you to do other things, okay? And again, I'm going to jump down to confirm someone's suspicions. This is a big one. Have you ever felt that there's people that know things that just won't share it with you? Well, that's someone's suspicions, and if you confirm that, you can say, I have information that proves that the government is holding this valuable information from you. And then they'll, you know, whatever it is, you know, the true secrets of this, the true secrets of that, you know, natural cures they don't want you to know about, whoever they are. Of course, in that case, it would be the government. But, you know, they're confirming people's suspicions. Whether they're true or not is irrelevant. Cults are some of the best at this. You know, first thing they do, and they also do it preemptively, they confirm that the suspicion that your family members are the ones that's going to sabotage you. you know, as you begin to make this change, let me reassure you that, of course, your family member, your mother and your father, are going to be the ones who want to pull you out of our loving cult. Of course, they wouldn't call it group, family, whatever they would call it. So, you know, that they're going to sabotage them. But when you confirm someone's suspicions, it also makes the person feel smart. It also makes them know that they're not alone. So, so you want to really think about those things. And then if you help somebody throw rocks at their enemies, there's nothing that binds a group together like a common enemy. You know, and whether that's one organization against another. You know, we at this organization, the XYZ Hypnosis Organization, are banding together to stop those horrible people at ABC Hypnosis because they're trying to take away our whatever it could be, right? Because once you get a common enemy, you can gather. This is like very powerful covert stuff. If you you're talking to somebody and you find out one of their dreams to be financially independent, and you said, "Great, you know, can you imagine living in your dream house, driving the dream car? Can you imagine that now?" And that you have the talents, abilities, and skills to get there, but you haven't done it because you've never been given the secrets. You haven't been given the information that you need to help you get there. It's not your fault that you've been held back. What I'm going to do is give you the tools to help you get there, right? And the way I'm going to do that is reveal to you some of those things that's been held from you. Have you ever wondered why is it some of these super people won't share this information with you? Why the high performers in our organization won't share it with you? Well, I'm going to break that code of silence and give you this information. And now let me warn you that there'll be people that'll be telling you not to join this, not to join us in our little courageous march to make this change. But as we form our own little organization to make these changes and bring this information to the real world, you know, we'll be able to align ourselves against those that are holding back this wonderful information from the public, yada, yada, yada. Well, you kind of walk through, you know, several of these big-time ways to influence people. Now, when you take this skill set and combine it with just the basic traditional NLP of the mirroring, the matching, rapport, and listening for the sensory-based language, the visual, the auditory, the kinesthetic, you know, and you could even tie it into, you know, figuring out what level is it that the person's missing something, you can really begin to influence them at a covert level. And so this is just some information I wanted to get out there and just have some fun with it and let people start to think about it, because where I've seen this happen a lot is inside our hypnosis and NLP organization. How many times have you seen these kind of things? In fact, really quickly, I'll go through the top, you know, how people make cults. And this is what I see. You know, they use some of these techniques and technology to almost make a cult-like following. You know, and one of the things they do, of course, is separate from the group. They make a little subgroup. It becomes us versus them. You know, they're the ones that are telling you the only true information, whether it's about hypnosis, NLP, marketing, whatever it happens to be. You know, they justify why they haven't been successful and confirm the suspicion and, you know, and develop common enemies. And so I find it amusing that even in an organization or organizations in NLP and hypnosis that understands these skill sets, it doesn't stop people from buying into it. And it's just fascinating to me. But that's neither here nor there. So I just wanted to get that out there. So, and if you add, like I said, and you add the mirroring, the matching, the visual, the auditory, the kinesthetic, the only thing I can say is it's easy to influence people to take action, especially if the action is ethical and for their own good. You can actually, you know, influence them to go take that action much easier than ever before. Now, the other thing that I wanted to stress, when you're really going to influence people, if you thought about what I said at the beginning about that sentence, people will do anything for those who encourage their dreams, justify their failures, allay their fears, confirm their suspicions, and help them throw rocks at their enemies. The thing that's missing is you. Truly master covert persuaders. It's all about the target's needs, what they want, you know, what they need, what's in it for me, but from their viewpoint. Because once you get them on your side, they'll naturally do the things you want them to do because you fulfill these basic needs and desires. So you need to step out of what you want for a little while and focus on what the other person wants, and then you can lead them down the path of least resistance to where you want them to go. So if everybody would, those that want to, if you want to unmute again, which is *3, so we could take any questions or if anybody has any questions or comments.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions, comments? Oh, somebody's got to have something.
How do you find this with a lot of the other NLP organizations? Do you think this is going to be, and hypnosis organizations too, do you think this is always going to be kind of a method that they use continuing?
I think what happens is, you know, I'd like to think that it's not done consciously. I think it's subconscious.
Right.
These are things that happen naturally. When you see a group form, a lot of these things happen. You know, usually people form a group forms for a common cause, and then things will grow out from that. But I do know in a lot of organizations, a lot of this information has been known, but they don't share it with their group, right? Just
right.
Like the thing about installing loyalty. I've known that for years, and I remember being around some other people and talking about it, and they're like, you don't want to teach that to your people. I go, why not? What's the big deal? It's because they're
right.
doing it. It's why when you run around, when you add two things, when you teach somebody something new and exciting, they're very grateful for you for teaching that. So there's going to be some natural loyalty there. But if you add in the skill set we have of eliciting a loyal state and anchoring it to you, this is why you see some of these people that get around NLP or hypnosis, and they don't even want to talk about any other NLP or hypnosis thing. You know,
right.
it's heresy.
mm-hmm.
So sometimes
right.
it's done overtly. And you know, I could be disgusted or amused, and it's healthier to laugh.
Right, yeah. Separate them from the group for 3 weeks, you know.
yeah.
Separate them from the rest of the world, right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anybody else have anything?
Will, how would you use this strategy for someone who wants to stop smoking to make it easier for them to make that change?
Well, one of the things, you know, I think, you know, one of the things that works lately with especially something like smoker is I would justify their failure, you know, and confirm their suspicion that it's hard to stop smoking. That would get you in alignment with them, and then go back to the logical levels. I mean, that's something very simple, but if they're really serious about quitting smoking, they need to have no cigarettes in their house, in their car, or near them. You know, when my practice was booming, and I'll be honest, everything, my old person I used to do practice building with said I was too honest, but, you know, when my practice was very busy and I was making good money and I didn't, everything was flowing smoothly, when a guy would come in or a lady would come in and stop smoking, I'd say, here's what you need to do. You will get rid of every cigarette. You will not have them in your house. You will not have them in your car. And you won't have them around you. If for some reason you had to have a cigarette, you go buy a pack, smoke it, throw the pack away, and go home. If they wouldn't agree to that, I wouldn't see them.
Hmm.
Because, you know, it's like, you know, what, just to self-disclose, you know, when I wanted to quit drinking, I had to get the beer out of the house. you know, and so that's the basic. And then whatever you're going to do with the NLP and the hypnosis to you know, get rid of the change, and then change the belief set with smokers is very very important, you know, to get them to start thinking of themselves as a non-smoker. That's why, like, I've heard a lot of, I'm smoke-free, I am a non-smoker, I am smoke-free. Well, I understand what it's doing is beginning to change that belief set, because once they believe they're a non-smoker, and if it shifts their identity, it'll ripple down into their behavior easier. So if you do that and you got rid of the cigarette, then it would be easier still. So,
and then what about the covert hypnosis, or the covert hypnosis other than justifying the failure and the dream. I can see those two, but how about the other three components?
Well, then, you know, the common enemy, of course, would be the tobacco industry. You know,
right.
Those bastards that kept you smoking. You know, they didn't buy you any cigarettes, but that's neither here nor there. You know, I do most of the, when I used to, like, this covert stuff, that to me is what I did in the waiting room. You know, I didn't do that much when we got in the office, once we got in the room, so. Because, I mean, hell, they're paying for a hypnotist or an NLP, or, you know, they should know that it's happening from the time they walk in.
Right, right.
So, there's that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good question. Anyone else have any questions? No? Quiet group. Dan Clary, you still there?
Sir, yes, sir.
You have any questions? I know you like this stuff.
Oh, man, you know, I've been liking this stuff since back before I knew what it was. you know, and you talk about smokers and the belief systems and all, and I am a non-smoker, and I have challenges with being a non-smoker, because you can't not do something.
Oh, okay.
But they can be...
Smoke-free.
I help them shift their thing from what they don't want to do, smoking, to what they do want to do, grow up with their grandchildren.
Oh, okay.
And install the desire into what it is that they actually do want.
Okay, that's cool.
That's where I find the most success in the way that I approach these things. But
I do that, and I hit them in the head with a board.
Often, you know, a friend of mine tells a story about a client that said, boy, you'd have to hit me in the head and make me stop doing this. And he rolled up a magazine and hit him in the head.
bad dog.
Now, we've done that, okay.
That's $75, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. But the common enemy, oh, yeah. You know, who do you want to run your life? The tobacco companies, the people selling you the junk food, who you know, corporate America, who do you want to have run your life? You can get a nice common enemy there.
Yeah. Well, and then what's interesting is, just for some inside information, if anybody didn't know it, like for the 12-step programs like Alcoholics Anonymous and that, the common enemy isn't alcohol.
Oh, no.
It's the behaviors. That's what people don't get. And it's like, wow, once people learn that, they go, really? Yeah, because, you know, once somebody really gets that change, alcohol is neither good nor bad.
What's the line? It's not a solution.
Yeah, it's not a solution to my problem. Yeah. So it's just kind of interesting. So,
there's some cute little thing there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, you mentioned the hypno and the NLP groups. And this, whether or not it's conscious on the part of the leaders of the groups, it's you know, if you belong to this group, you're not going to be prominent in this group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're for the profession as long as it's ours.
There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah. Is Mr. Shivanarda still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you think about some of these things, especially for working with organizations, that logical level stuff?
You know, the logical level, I've been here, I've got writer's cramp now. taking a few notes.
Well, for the people listening, he does a lot of, like, team-building stuff, Mr. Shivanarda. One day he'll be on the call talking about that. So.
Yeah. the thing for organizations, you know, it's, there are actually two dynamics that go into work. One is, in the organization, you've got to identify the person with the biggest stick. And it sometimes might not be the president, but it could be the you're addressing, but it could be the guy who's the power behind the firm. And when you start to work these logical levels, and then you throw in some of the covert stuff. I mean, I've been through the training, so I do it, but I get so wrapped up, I fall down sometimes because I get so wrapped up when I start going, wow, this stuff really works. Damn, this is fun. Let's mess with them some more. No. You stay on task. So I love this stuff. This is great. And it works.
When you do your team building, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you see a lot of conflict between, like, the values and beliefs and then the behaviors and the environment that the, you know, that...
Across the group, you will get that, yes.
Okay.
Because everybody wants to row in their own direction. And the first thing that has to happen is to get everybody to agree on the optimal environment. And generally what I do is drop down to the profit margin. You really want to make a lot of money, don't you? Everybody will start nodding yes, as opposed to you want to make money selling screwdrivers as opposed to hammers or one product versus another. Forget the differentiation. Start at the point where everybody can agree and bring it up, because if you don't do that, you then get into the swirling argument of who is right.
Yeah.
So clarity of vision, is that what you would call that?
Yeah, you've got to get them focused on a clear point of vision and total agreement.
on a big level, and then
yep.
They can break it down and be just as important in their role in that, in achieving that.
Exactly. However, you do it in three steps. I can't remember where I read it, but there was something about if you can get somebody to say yes three times,
right,
sold
yep.
them.
Yes,
so the first time. Everybody wants to make a great profit this year, right? Oh, yeah, yeah. And you have a bonus sharing plan here, too, right? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So this profit's really going to benefit all of you individually through the bonus plan. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Great. Here's how we do it.
Cool.
Very few people will say no at that point.
And do you think some of those things about encourage the dreams, justify failures, confirm suspicion, throw rocks at the enemy?
Oh, you know, that's pure corporate marketing. The Huey Long, the former governor of Louisiana before he was assassinated, used to say, it ain't you, it ain't me, it's the guy behind the tree. That's the guy that's the real problem.
Yeah.
I'll align with you and we'll get it done right, won't we? Absolutely. So, yeah, all this when done well is rocket fuel for the message that you can get across to people and for the benefits that you can get from dealing with the people.
Cool.
Benefits being paycheck, recognition, word of mouth, marketing, and just plain success.
Right. Cool.
Could you repeat the five covert points again?
Yes, hold on. People will do, and again, I'm trying to get the exact quote, because I would like to give credit where credit is due. I think it's Warren Blair, something like that. I'll find it by next week. People will do anything for those that encourage their dreams, justify their failures, allay their fears, confirm their suspicion, and help them throw rocks at their enemies. It's Blair Warren, BLAIRWARREN, and obviously you must have a website, blairwarrenprobably.com. And so just some, that's cool. Anybody else have any questions? How about any of the late, there was a few ladies on the call. Any questions from, I don't want to not take questions from anyone. Any other questions?
How much does the Empire State Building weigh?
What?
It's just my favorite question for when there's no question.
Okay. Well, since we don't really have any more questions, I'd like to thank everybody for... for sharing
Whoa.
With me. Yeah, that was me. I had a glitch there. Sorry. So any other questions? Finally, last.
Oh, I appreciate the telecall.
Yeah.
Thank you, Will. It was very, very informative as always.
Well, we're going to try to do two a month. I mean, I'm shooting for that with my travel schedule, and I'm working on some things that I don't travel as much. But one will be informational like this one, and then one will be more marketing, or I'll bring in other experts to talk about other things that align with what we do. You know, like next week I'm going to, I don't know who yet, there's a couple different people, going to talk about some internet marketing, or what's that big buzzword now, social networking. To talk about how we can use that, you know. So, but I'm trying to share as much as I can. So pass it on, let people know. And I know we're doing the one next week. And then I know in May there will be one on internet marketing. I got an internet marketer specialist guy coming on. So I think next week will be on social networking. So
cool.
I'd like to thank everybody and have a good evening. And be
thank you, Will.
Yeah, be talking to you
soon.
Thanks, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
This conference is no longer